Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. Hello, Fat Mascara fam. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
We are here to give you beauty news.
Beauty news and a very exciting interview.
Yeah.
But first, let's talk about what we're going to talk about this episode. First, Pantone just announced their color of the year.
And unlike last year, there's just one.
Was last year the two? I think it was the year before.
So. We're going to talk about it.
Okay. Well, either way, it's like one of my favorite times of the year on the Beauty Cal. Then we're going to talk about glass skin. What is it? And last, how to share the love beauty style this holiday season. Give a little.
Ooh, that was just zesty. I like the way you say that.
Thanks.
Our interview is with Sylvie Chantecaille. I don't even have to tell you what brand she's from because her freaking name is the brand. Chic. So we're going to learn all about Chantecaille Cosmetics and skincare and all that good stuff. Let's get into it. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Pantone. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It is when Pantone drops their color of the year. Now, I don't know if you heard this, but our producer, Belle, said, wait, what is Pantone in that voice?
That's not Belle's voice at all.
Sorry, Belle. She's definitely going to do something weird to like
but
my
we should tell people what Pantone
fiddle
is.
With my voice. Okay, so Pantone, I'm just going to give it in layman's terms. This is not Pantone's About Us section. They're the people who make like, they don't make the paint chips.
No.
They're like a reference for all.
It started with printing just so you could get the right red across multiple print channels, across the web,
standardization.
Whatever.
Standardization.
Yes.
Color standardization. So it's like we're all talking about the same red, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And every year they tell you what the color of the year is going to be. And it's really a prediction. And there's so much weight behind it. It is really kind of like setting the tone
for the culture and the culture. Mood. Yeah.
It's like it's a barometer. So, you know, I really should know this. I think it was 2 years ago that it was the kind of, I don't remember their fancy like J. Crew names, but there was like a baby blue and a baby pink.
Yeah.
And there were two of them. And people were really like, you know, freaking out because there were two. But hello, that's when the whole gender fluidity conversation really hit the mainstream. That's
yeah.
like when like your aunt, like, you and know, Gladys, like started understanding.
Or Uncle Gladys.
Or Uncle,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
started talking about that. So this is really a big conversation starter and also a reflection of the culture.
So Jess, what is the Pantone 2018 color of the year?
Drumroll, ultraviolet.
Ultraviolet.
Yes. Now, I have so many thoughts on this, but
describe
Jen,
what kind
oh, yeah,
of
sorry.
Violet.
It's not super purple. Get your Google machines out if you really want to see. This is where the podcast medium
it's like a clear
kind of
violet,
fails us.
Not like a deep royal purple, not a lavender. It's just like
yeah.
violet.
It's this really, yeah, it's not too dark, it's not lilac by any means.
What do you think? Are you into it?
It's like, you know what? It reminds me of like the beautiful purple in the summer of right before it goes really dark, the sky.
That was so romantic.
Thank you. Well, I do love like the sky at that time in the summer. It's really gorgeous. It's a blue-based purple. It's Pantone 18-3838, if you want to pop that in. It's a blue-based purple.
I like that they said that they were sort of inspired by music. And you know Prince played into this, I'm sure.
Prince? David Bowie.
Jimi Hendrix, they mentioned when mm-hmm. they were giving. They give like a mood board to go along with
yeah.
it. Now, I don't know, though, how this plays into the beauty world. Where do you see this color popping up?
Well, first, can I hit you with a quote from Latrice Eisman?
Oh, yeah, they're color trend experts.
She's
sure.
the executive director of the Pantone Color Institute. That this is really epic. She says, "We are living in a time that requires inventiveness and imagination. It is kind of a creative. It is this kind of creative inspiration that is indigenous to Pantone 183830 Ultraviolet, a blue-based purple that takes our awareness and potential to a higher level."
Ooh, got a little spiritual.
Yeah, and I think you know we're talking about spirituality. That's a nice segue to the whole beauty thing. There's obviously a lot more than the beauty thing here, but like. Don't you feel like there's a lot of spirituality just even in pop culture right now?
Completely. I'm working on a story about spiritual skincare. I can't tell you how many products have had crystals in them that mm-hmm. come packaged with crystals. Palo Santo, everybody's burning. Mm-hmm. They're vibrating and meditating.
You talked about crystal treatments, like crystal massages.
Yeah. It has like a 60s feel to it. And purple, I guess, if you think the Jimi Hendrix vibes, does have a little bit of that kind of counterculture feel to it.
Absolutely. And there's still the kind of the gentleness and the curiosity that surrounds purple. It's not aggressive, but it's still strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's great. You know, like normally I want to like do a little bit of an eye roll with stuff like this, but not at all this year. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting soft. The other thing is, you know, look at all the makeup trends that we've seen. Unicorn makeup.
Yeah, there's purple plays into that for sure. And like the holographic, like even if it's mm-hmm. a white luminescence, there's that lavendery purple, almost ultraviolet quality
completely.
To it.
Completely. We did a story. I'm feeling a little proud of myself. We did a story at Teen Vogue called Purple Rain, which was all
Look
about
at
purple.
You calling the trends before they happen on the cutting edge of beauty.
God, guys, just call me. Me and Leatrice.
So I'm going to be torn, though, because yeah. do I want to be cool and with it and be Gen Z yellow, or do I want to be Pantone ultraviolet in 2018?
I think there's room for both.
Nope, I look better in purple.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Nobody
I think
looks
most
good
people
in
most people look better in purple. I think maybe but, both of them were on the drawing board.
Yeah, guys, get ready though, because your Sephora is about to become exploding with all sorts of ultraviolet things. And Pantone themselves do collabs. I think it's with Butter London this year. They're doing a polish in the shade too. So we'll link to that on the blog. But get ready to go ultraviolet
it's
in 20
like a twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in 2018.
Yeah.
Okay, Jess, if you remember back to our interview with Alicia Yoon of Peach and Lily, she dropped a term on us. At the time, I wasn't really sure what she was talking about. She said, oh, you know how you want that glass skin. And I looked it up later and I was like, what is this? This isn't a thing. Since then, glass skin is definitely a thing. Allure wrote about it. All the other beauty blogs are writing about it. It's a term. I don't know the Korean words for it, so I'm not even going to attempt Korean right now. All I know how to say in Korean is yoseo, and that's how you answer the phone. But other than that, it basically means you want skin that has an almost translucent, so smooth that it's like glass.
It's probably pretty firm, too.
Oh, yeah. It's like a shard
glass
of glass.
Is hard.
I want glass skin, A. B, I don't, because that's freaking unattainable.
It's probably clear, too, right?
Like, yeah, you're invisible. Is everybody going to see my blood flowing through my face?
Glass skin. I kind of know what it means. It probably has like a beautiful shine to it, like a Windex shine. It's not matte.
There better not be a pore. There's no pores in glass.
It's the opposite of a satin finish.
How?
Because a glass skin, if I'm putting this in cosmetic terms,
yeah,
would have a shine, like a highlight, you know?
Yes.
Like reflectiveness. When I want a satin finish for my foundation,
it's softer.
It's velvet. You could just like melt into it.
Okay, so it sounds super unattainable, and that part of it I don't like. But what I do like is all throughout 2017, everybody was putting out full coverage mattifying foundations left and right. Mm-hmm. I think it was like the Instagram-iness of it all.
Yeah.
I just saw a lot of like, you know, that it went along with the matte lip trend, and everybody had this like chalkiness to them and beiginess to them. Even if you were dark brown colored or pale white colored, it just felt very chalky. I can't describe it any other way.
And sidewalk chalk.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is a, you know how like we swing, we beauty industry, everybody goes this way and then we go back this way. So I've been trying to do the glass skin thing.
I did notice you look glassy when you walked in.
Are my eyes glassy?
I don't know. I'm just
purple
joking
haze.
Around.
No, I'm just kidding. But the thing is, in Korea, it comes from skincare, right? So you're using glycolic acids to like tighten up the skin so your pores look teeny tiny, all that. I ain't got time.
This is a full-time job.
I ain't got time for that. So my little trick that I've been doing is instead of doing a full coverage foundation, I'll do like a tinted moisturizer. And I've been putting in glow cream from Erborian, that Korean brand.
Oh, you like them.
I do.
I don't know them a couple of times.
I feel like if it's Korean and that, like, then they definitely know what they're talking about with the glass skin. But it's not a mica shimmer thing. I'm such a beauty editor right now. It's a glotion, if you will.
Oh my God. I haven't heard that word since like 2015.
Oh, I thought I just made that up.
No, I've read about glotions.
Oh, please. Glotions. So 3 years ago.
I wrote about glotions for Cosmo. Like, it was like year in beauty.
Even said you want skin to look like skin lately because you've been sick of all this mattifying. So what do you do when you need the little extra glow?
Well, I mean, you know, I just use like a luminizing powder.
Powder feels the antithesis of this.
Well, I like that. I don't know. I just hit the tops of my cheekbones. I feel like I'm going to get hit if I say what I use because, you know.
It's going to be Charlotte Tilbury.
Okay. I used the Charlotte Tilbury Film Star Bronze and Glow. Mm-hmm. I've also been using her highlighting wand, which is not a powder. It's this amazing liquid that's with a sponge tip. That is awesome. And that actually stays for a while. It's awesome.
And that doesn't feel strobey because that's different from glass skin.
Well, it's a bit more of a highlighter. Yeah, it's I don't know if it's glass skin, but you asked me what I use when I want a glow.
Okay, all right.
So, and then the other product that I use when I want glass skin is that Ciate Dewy Sticks. Fantastic product.
Yes, I don't know if we raised a wand to it or what, but
We've talked about it before.
Yeah, I keep going back to it. I don't want to be invisible. I don't want to have transparent skin.
I just think a lot of these trends are like pretty unattainable.
Yeah.
But I just want to look glowy and fabulous. Is that too much to ask?
It's not. You know? Try these products we just mentioned.
Yeah.
Don't go around calling it glass skin.
Yeah. Just a little bronzer.
You just say Fat Mascara wants me to be glowy.
Glowy, fabulous, done. Good night. Guys, it's time for a little Christmas tale.
Ooh. Okay. Sit down around the fireplace.
It starts off in Chelsea. There I was, facing. I'm a horrible storyteller, and I also should have written this down. Basically, I was faced with an impossible task, and the task was to move the contents of my absolutely packed to the gills apartment to another apartment across town. There was this tremendous 9-foot like armoire, wall unit, wardrobe, whatever the hell we want to call it. And I realized that the entire thing was packed with beauty products.
Is it really? Was it really?
Yeah, it sounds like Christmas, right? It was unbelievable. Unused products, name brands that like would make, you know, a girl cry. It was unbelievable. Now,
where's Kris Kringle come in?
The little prince said, "You're not bringing all of that to the new apartment, are you?"
Is the little prince Jeff, yes, your fiance?
Yes. And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not." So I had about 24 hours to find a home for all these products. That's where the shoebox project came in.
Wait, what did you do? Tell me in your regular voice.
Okay. All right. Back to the regular voice, because I can't keep that up. And that was ridiculous. I'm sorry. The shoebox project, the New York City shoebox project, collects and distributes gifts in the form of shoeboxes to women who are homeless or at risk of homelessness in New York City. So they're one of the very few charitable drives that focus on women during the holiday season.
But what if you used a little bit of the product?
This is really for new products.
Oh, you had a lot of new products.
Yes, guys.
Okay.
Okay, and this is for, you know, I guess I realize I'm in a very particular situation because of the job that I'm in. But sometimes people get, if you've ever bought something, you realize you don't want it, or you get a gift with purchase. I mean, even before this, sometimes I'd have like, you know, you get a BOGO, like a 2-for-1, mm-hmm, and then it just sits there. And the boxes that they make are amazing. I met the founder, or the woman who runs the New York City chapter. These boxes are filled with $50 of luxury items and a personalized letter to the woman who's going to be getting the gift.
And this Christmas, they're filled with Jess Matlin's cast-offs.
But they're actually incredible cast-offs.
But you know what? I have something to add to this.
Tell us.
If you have gently used products, actually, you can even at this time of year or any time of year, donate. I was interviewing Lucy Hale last week.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
So gorgeous. Her eyes are like as big as her face. It's like, yeah, a little like just otherworldly kind, mm-hmm, of. And she was saying she's a beauty hoarder. She uses an IKEA 3-tier system, 3 drawers.
Oh, wow. We need to get into systems in another episode.
We absolutely do. When she's only gently used, which I've done too, where you get a lotion and, yeah, you're like, I don't know if I love it. She's in LA. Well, she's in Vancouver, but sometimes in LA. Downtown Women's Center, which is a homeless shelter there that will take your gently used toiletries. Definitely check before you go dropping off a whole bunch of like half used crusty Jergens, yeah, lotions or whatever. But a lot of other places too, especially homeless women's shelters, places where there's domestic abuse and women have to stay for a little while, yeah, will take your products. They will also take the plain stuff and the travel size stuff that you know you're hoarding from that hotel room.
It's like, when are you going to use
that? Who do you think you are? You're not going to be using your little, like, Bulgari green tea bubble bath teeny tiny size.
How did you know that I had that?
Did you really?
I have so many.
Bulgari has, like, the corner on, like, you know, certain hotel chains, and I always end up with this, like, green tea bubble bath.
It was Starwood for a while.
Is that what it was? Yeah, and I saw it was Bulgari, so I took it.
Of course. I mean, who wouldn't?
But so you can bring those as well, which is really nice. Imagine a woman's coming in for the holidays, and she gets her own little toiletries.
I mean, yeah, this is I was using my silly voice, but obviously, like, this is such a great way to give back and, you know, obviously, like, clear out some stuff that it's just sitting there. It's not doing you any good. Go to shoeboxprojectusa.org/nyc.html. Or you can go to our website and we'll have all the information there too. It's a really fun way to get involved, and it's just a great organization. All right. It's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it. All right. Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement
which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear, or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we ask guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like what's your favorite board game? And more important things like what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase. So we're here with the chicest cosmetic creator ever, basically. Sylvie Chantecaille, who started a beauty company with Diane von Furstenberg in the 70s. She went on to create Prescriptives and eventually her own line, Chantecaille. How's my pronunciation?
Very good, very good.
I know. Our French isn't great here at Fat Mascara.
Chantecaille.
Chantecaille.
Very lovely. Very lovely.
Actually, that's a good question. What? I mean, that's your name, right?
Like, it's my husband's name.
What does...
I was a good wife and I took it on. It took me a while, but then I took it on. And you have to know that I laughed his face about his name and hang up on him when he first called me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got married with him 45 years later.
You guys have been married 45 years.
Yes, in our diapers when we got married.
In your diapers?
Right, because she's very young, yes.
Not that young, but no. quite a while.
Well, it's a beautiful name. I'm sorry if we butcher it. We'll try
you
not
didn't
to.
Butcher it at
okay,
all.
Good, good, good. So tell me, your beauty is in your blood pretty much. When did you first learn about beauty and who taught you?
When I was 15, maybe 14, my mother took me for a facial to her facialist. And she asked my mother if she could put a little bit of makeup on me. And my mother said, well, I guess if it's very little, you know, sort of thing. And she put some time. And then I remember I was lying down and on the bed, you know, for facial. And then I got up and I looked at myself and said, oh, my God, that stuff rocks. I thought, this is genius.
How do you say that in French? That stuff rocks. Yeah.
C'est génial.
Génial, yeah.
C'est génial. I thought, this is really interesting. So I started reading every magazine, every beauty copy. Trying every product. We have a bathroom in France that are like a special room. You know, the loo is another room. You know, it's not in the bathroom, it's another room.
Yes.
So you can be alone in that room for a long time if you want. Mm. So I had all those things I was reading. I used to read every little pamphlet inside the product.
Studying.
I was studying the whole thing. And then I studied my face forever. And I was wearing. So when I was a debutant, because I was a debutant.
You were a debutant?
I was a debutant. So when I was debutant, I was the best made-up debutant. And everybody took my pictures because I had all this crazy makeup. I remember I used to put two little diamonds right here.
In the inner corners of your eyes?
Yeah.
Real diamonds?
Well, no, of course not.
Okay. I don't know. You said you were a debutant. I thought maybe they were just lying around in that little room.
No, they were not. Trust
okay.
me. I went to the place that sold makeup for ballerinas, you know.
Okay.
So I learned. I literally figured out the whole thing. And it was so much fun. I used to love it. And we're very artistic in my family. My parents collected art, and I was raised in only art. So it's for me, it's a form of art, you know, it's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up?
In Paris.
Okay.
And when you do makeup, you know, it's art, no question. And what I did was really art. There was another girl with me that did the same thing. It's really funny because she created then L'Oreal, the one into the drugstore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she did that after. So we both ended up in the cosmetic business. It was really funny.
Wait, your friend started L'Oreal Paris.
Yeah, not the whole shebang of
no,
25
but the drugstore
billion,
line.
But
that
the drugstore line, exactly.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, L'Oreal, yeah.
But you're no slouch yourself. I mean, what was your first beauty?
Yeah, how did you enter this world? How did you go from hanging out in the room outside the loo to...
Is that the boudoir?
Yeah.
Is that what the boudoir?
Yeah, give me a better name. What is the name for that little room?
Le petit quoi?
The room outside the loo. I'm not going to attempt that in future podcasts.
Anyway.
How did you go from being, you know, an enthusiast to a professional in the beauty world?
I think it happened by accident. I always remember my mother went to a person who did your charts of your life, you know.
Like an astrologer
astrologer. A far less psychic astrologer. And she said to my mother, your daughter will be very famous for something with a head. She'll be very successful with that. And I thought that woman's crazy. She wanted me to make hats. I was an 18-year-old snob. I wasn't going to make hats, you know. I was going to marry a prince. What are we talking about here?
I wish I knew you when you were 18.
That was really fun.
Really funny.
I thought, this is ridiculous. And she was right. That's what I did. You know, it was so interesting. She was right on lots of things, she said. Said I've got three children.
But how did you actually start working in the business?
Okay, when I came to New York, and I came to New York for a year, literally, and I was working in art at the same at that time. And so I had a bunch of friends that I grew up with in Europe that came in New York at the same time. Well, came, you know, like late 60s, early 70s, and very early 70s, like 70, 71. And one of those friends was Egon Furstenberg, who married Diane. So Diane, who said Diane first? Don't say Diane. Diane's very American.
We're talking Diane. DVF of wrap dress frame.
Yeah, yeah. So Diane was saying to me one night, I said, why don't we do something together? We got to have fun. Because I'm started, you know, I do things fast. So she was like, oh, let's do something together. I said, Diane, I don't like your dress. I really don't like your dress. It's not my thing, you know.
You say you don't like your dress. You say you're not into the wrap dress.
No, I was never into the wrap dress.
I can't picture you in a wrap dress.
No, not at all. It doesn't work for me. So I said, you know what I want to do? I think I want to do a cosmetic company. She said, genius. Why don't we do that? Me too. So that's how we started.
And what was the name of that company?
It was called DVF.
How long did that last?
Last 4 years. We sold it just before the Lauder came to get me to ask me to create a company for them.
Okay, Lauder came to get you to create a company. Yeah. What company was that?
Prescriptives.
Of course. The way you said that was so funny.
Everybody's favorite line, Prescriptives.
So what about Prescriptives? Okay, how did this work? Back up. Lauder came to you. They knew that you were, one of the minds behind DVF.
They knew that I was entrepreneur. They were looking for, we have to remember, this is 1977.
Okay.
And they were not as big as that time, right?
So
they had
Lauder.
A clinique, mm-hmm. and they had Lauder. I hate to tell you how many millions they did. It wasn't much at that time. So it wasn't a huge company. Mm-hmm. And they had you all very specialized, you know, it was just fun. I mean, you'd go there and they had these people could do packaging, people could do, you know, it was interesting. And they didn't have entrepreneurs. Mm. I mean, beside themselves and their mother, particularly, they didn't have entrepreneurs. So they thought, wow, this sounds really interesting. So that's how they hired me.
And did you bring the idea for Prescriptives? Or did they say, we want to do something like Prescriptives?
No. They didn't want that at all, actually. They said, we're interested in some. I mean, they obviously looked at me and said, this person can do something different. And then they asked me to. What would I think and what am I thinking to do and what would I create, you know? And so, and they were very nice and they were really lovely. And I remember going to Italy with the guy who was in charge of packaging and we were doing all these places. And I remember walking on the Via Monte Napoleone and saying, that's the color of the packaging. It was a wall. And it was clear that it was that gray, you know, it was gray. And when I came back, we did a presentation to Estee, who I adored, by the way. She was so fabulous. And we had a whole presentation in beige and a whole presentation in gray. And everybody thought Mrs. Lauder's going to like the beige, right? So she said, okay, wait a minute. She walked out the door and she came back in and said, that one.
And pointed to the gray.
Yeah, it was a gray. So thanks to her, I was able to do the gray, which was much cooler.
Wow.
So at that time, there was no line for young women. You know, I was not even 30, and I thought, this is ridiculous. All these women have fake nails out to here, fake lashes. They don't know how to sell makeup. They're saying that pink crap to everybody, and they're like, you know, how do I wear it? It's going to be wonderful. No, it was so wrong. So remember the generation, my generation and the American generation, are the girls who burn their bras, who were wearing no makeup. You know, that was a whole other thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but they were going to get a job. That's the thing. That was the hunger, that they had to go get a job now. So they were going to be lawyers, and they were going to be, you know, whatever. They had to look decent. They had to go back. And so they needed good makeup. That was
not
natural.
Not like disco makeup, not pink.
No, they wanted to, and not like old lady English makeup, you know, which was really what was sold at the time. So they wanted something for them, and I totally got that. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, because I'm French, I was raised in a way where your makeup doesn't show.
Yeah.
Your makeup shows your father, gets you back into the room and say, go wash your face. There's no way you're walking out the door like this. So you learn to really do your makeup in a very discreet way so that it cannot be told that you're wearing makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wore makeup in a convent I went to school, wash your face. You know, there's no way you're going to get away with it. So you learn that. You learn how to make it really subtle and really interesting. And not the deviant makeup with the false lashes and the whole thing, but the real makeup that you want to wear during the day, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I was really good at that. And I was really, I have an artist eye and a very, very trained eye. So I could really understand color like nobody else's business. I mean, Estee wrote in a book, some book on her life, whatever. Here was this woman that came and she knew everything there is to know about color. Yeah. That's how she saw me always.
Was it hard to explain this concept of...
Yes, it was.
I'm thinking about...
Totally.
A red lipstick from... And I love Prescriptives. I love the line. But, you know, you could take a red lipstick from Prescriptives. How do you say this is a different lipstick than another Estee Lauder brand own lipstick. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's the philosophy. But
okay,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, it's a tricky... Sorry, you have to back up a little. I first start with skincare. Okay. And because that was the mandate. Mm-hmm. And so I did a skincare. I was very high tech, very, very high tech, very new, because there was no high tech in the skincare at the time at all. Mm-hmm. And I did some very, very modern things. I'm basically a modern person. So I did some very modern, looking at science, a lot of things. And also bringing stuff that we know in Europe that they do when using, like, you know, there's collagen, there's other stuff under the collagen. They weren't thinking about this thing at the time. And Joe Kubernik, who was the head of research R&D at Lauder, a lot of the stuff he had not really looked at yet, you know. But then little by little he did. And then we created all these new products that were quite revolutionary. The only problem with it is I think they were in many ways irritant. And that always stayed in my brain, that these products were a bit irritant. Mm. So when I did my own, it went exactly the contrary. So at the same time, I said, Leonard, you know, I have a really good eye for color. I understand color very, very well. Let me do a makeup line. He said, no, I've got Estée Lauder's makeup line. We don't have a skincare line. We have a makeup line. So don't try to do the makeup. You know, I have it already. I said, why don't you just let me do it? He said, well, okay, if you do a concept that's different. So I racked my brain about it. And, you know, I thought everything. I went for the blonde hair, blue eyes, and all the classic things you can think of to do something specific. And until one day, and everybody knows that story worked in prescriptive because they've heard it 100 times. I was in the bank. At that time, I used to go to the bank to deposit your check. And in the queue at the bank, I saw these two women with one with black hair, one with blonde hair, both with red lipsticks. And I totally understood it wasn't a question about hair. It was a question about skin. Mm-hmm. It was how their skin was driving the way they could wear color. So I started this whole concept about what is your skin, what is really undertone of your skin. And that's how I developed this red, orange, yellow, orange, blue, red, and really understanding what the undertone, and the undertone really allows you to wear color. And that's how you can wear color. So then, you know, I went from doing, I tried everybody in the building. I would have to come to my office to try to see their skin and see what they look like with color and understand it. And I did this whole analysis of color. And then I went to Japan a few years later and learned, said, well, they're all yellow, obviously. I said, not so sure. And I brought with me custom blenders, and we custom blended 100 women. And we looked at their skin and realized they also have undertone in Asia. They're right, not all yellow, you know.
So Prescriptives was the first, one of the first brands to talk about undertone.
It was the first one.
Right.
It was the first one.
And, you went on to start your own line, Shantikai.
Yes, yes.
So what was the...
The thinking?
Okay,
the thinking was exactly the contrary. It was. Okay. No, it was. It was, I'd been sick at that time. I had Lyme disease really badly.
Yeah.
So I lived...
Oh, I know you love gardening. You're outdoors all the time, right?
Yeah. And also my dog tends to sleep in my bed, so...
Okay.
So I got Lyme.
Don't let the dog sleep in the bed. Yeah.
So I got Lyme really badly. And I had for a long time before anybody knew what it was, so I got really sick with it. And I needed a lot of medicine, and I was allergic to all this. I mean, you basically shoot yourself with antibiotic for a few days. I mean, a few months. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
So you get really, really sick, and then you get really allergic. And so I thought, there's no way I'm gonna. So I did a lot of alternative medicine, and I was paralyzed. So I did acupuncture. I did every alternative medicine you could think of.
Yeah.
So I studied this whole thing, and I was always interested in aromacology and fragrance, you know, natural things. I really want to understand. And I realized there's real power in it.
Yeah.
So when I did my line, I started with fragrance. Before doing the line, I did fragrance because I didn't want to take anybody's money. I want to do it all by myself. And I knew that it would cost about $1 million to start a color line.
Oh, and a fragrance line was less expensive.
It would be less
to
expensive,
start.
Much less expensive. So
is that still the case?
Well, making the product is less expensive.
Right.
Selling is a whole other story.
Yeah.
And making the product is not expensive. I mean, it's expensive, but it's only a few products.
It's, right,
it's not like 300, you know.
50 shades of
lipstick.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. And 300 SKUs. You know, so I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. And very soon after I started going around even Marcus, who took them right away, and the store, they all knew me. I also did a ton of press for Prescriptive for years. I mean, one year I was the most quoted person in Glamour magazine. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I did so much press. I knew all the editors.
Yeah.
You know? So I knew all the retailers and all the editors. So in a way, it was very easy for me to start in that part. The money story was a different story. But
right.
That part
so that's
was
why
easy.
You went with the fragrance.
You yeah. went the fragrance. And after a year, I realized there's no way I'm going to make any money. I had three kids, you know, private school, university. I need some cash. You know, this is not going to work. So I realized I wasn't. And I launched immediately in New York, London, and Hong Kong because I believe that the world is a small ball. And yeah. you have to do it everywhere or nowhere. And on the way back from Hong Kong, I stopped in Tokyo because I love working with the Japanese. And I always want to create products with the Japanese because I really like them. It was too expensive to do at the time I was in prescriptive. People were not too keen to spend that kind of money. So I looked at certain products, and I was thinking about things I really liked. And I have a lab I always want to work with. So I had this stuff in my pocket. I stopped all the way back at Neiman Marcus to talk to them, saying, you know, I'm really not making any money with the fragrance.
Yeah.
And they said, Sylvie, what we need from you is a makeup line. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I said, well, actually, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that.
And you had your Japanese lab.
And I'm showing them what I had in my pocket, you know, when I brought back from Japan. And they say, okay, we'll take it. We'll
before
start.
You had even developed it.
We're doing 40 doors right away.
Amazing.
You had the order, and then you had to make the product.
But they paid me in advance.
Mm, ooh, that's handy.
Unheard of.
Unheard of, right? And I stayed very faithful with them. It was with no Neiman more
Marcus?
Than that. Yeah. It was a handshake, really. It was nothing else. But I didn't sell anybody else for 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Because
oh, wow.
I thought these people trusted me. I mean, they allowed me to start, really, by doing this. I mean, you don't get $1 million check like this without, you know, some remembrance.
Was there one particular buyer? That
yeah, she's gone today. It was the head of cosmetics. She was terrific. Mm. And there was, you know, and they were terrific with me. Yeah. I mean, wonderful.
Now, when I think of Shantikai, I think of a few different things. So mm-hmm. let me know if this yeah, is yeah. right. I think of beautiful, sustainably sourced ingredients.
Yeah.
I think of very techie ingredients, very, mm-hmm. you know,
right. like
cutting-edge science.
Yeah.
And I also think of your commitment to philanthropy, specifically the environment and animal conservation.
Yeah.
They're all in equal measure. Do I have that
yeah,
right?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So what happened, which was really the great luck of my life, honestly, and what makes me today live a very happy life, is that about maybe 6 or 7 years into the business, I was concerned about the fact that in my garden, I didn't see any more monarch butterflies. There used to be a ton of monarch butterflies. And I saw very few, and I wondered why. So I started studying, and I realized why. It was not just the environment that was changing and the warming of the season that was earlier, so that when they got out of their little thing, whatever it's called in English, chrysalis, they didn't find the herb they need to eat. But it was also that...
milkweed. I happen to know it. I like gardening. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And it's also because in Mexico, where the winter, the forest in which they gather, I don't know if you've seen the picture, it's extraordinary.
I have millions of you from your products. Yeah.
You have millions of butterflies on trees. Extraordinary. Mm. And those trees were given by the Peonies Act by the government to people so they could fell down the tree, DTT the butterfly, and kill them. So they could farm this land. Which is very sad. I mean, it's good for them to have land to, I understand the need to farm, but also it was so sad to destroy the butterflies.
Yeah.
So I found these two women who had been doing this little charity, and they were two professors, two scientists, and they had started this Monarch Butterfly Foundation. And, so before that, I made an eyeshadow, and I made the most extraordinary eyeshadow, because I found the newest technology, which was using three molds in a tiny little eyeshadow and having the color go all the way through. So you had three complete colors mm-hmm. in the shape of a butterfly. It was exquisite. And we made different ones like this. Mm-hmm. It was a really hard thing to do, and it was completely, nobody had ever done it. So it was interesting. So obviously it was cute, it was attractive, it was different. Mm-hmm. It got photographed, it got talked about. That allowed me to start talking about the butterflies.
Yeah.
And I understood, wow, it's interesting. So second thing around, what do I do next? And I thought, corals. Mm-hmm. I love to dive, and I see corals in trouble. Corals. So I did corals.
So do you have different philanthropic
yes.
groups now pitching
yes.
you to say, hey,
well,
you know, we want to be your next, like, the Shantikai.
Well,
because you give a portion of proceeds
yeah, of course,
from these products,
of course,
obviously,
of course.
To
so
the
So it doesn't
foundation.
Really work that way. In a very odd way, it
but
works.
You're an interesting ambassador now. Like, I feel like if I were working for a group, I would think, you know,
yeah, no,
Sylvie
no.
Shantikai is a way in.
No, I know. People come to me now. Of course they do. But what I'm trying to say is it's not the way I do it. The way I do it is different. Somehow, I think somebody upstairs tapped me on the shoulder and said, time to talk about this. Don't talk about that.
Yeah.
And somehow I meet the people, I'm connected. It's so weird. And it's always right at the time when you talk about. It's really crazy.
Yeah, I got to experience that firsthand. I don't even know if you know this, but I went with the Shantakai family. They call me Cousin Jen. Sylvie, you were sick.
I couldn't. I organized the whole thing and I couldn't come.
I basically went on their family vacation. So she preaches what she practices. The NRDC took their family to Yellowstone.
To see the wolves.
To see the wolves and learn about more humane ways.
Exactly, to live with the wolf. How do you live with the wolf?
Yes.
Okay. I loved it that you're talking about this. Yes. I just got back from London. Okay, I was here last week. And we had this huge event, 450 people, the hottest people in London showed up. It was amazing. On for the Lion Guardians.
Yes.
And when I gave this speech, it's exactly what I talk about, is you can only have conservation if you understand how the local people can live with the animals.
Yeah.
Unless they see the benefit to themselves, the animals won't survive.
Yeah.
So this was about changing those two girls. It's an extraordinary job where they took young lion killers from the Maasai tribe, which are trained to protect the tribe, the family, the Bomas, those village, and turned them from lion killers to lion guardians.
Yeah.
And they understood that these boys had no real future except the family because they don't know how to read or write. They're super smooth. They're hot as hell. They're funny. They're clever. They know the bush like nobody else, but they can't work anywhere.
Right.
So they taught them Swahili, the local language of Kenya. They taught them how to read, write, operate a GPS. And they watch where the lions are. And they tell the villager who are taking their cattle, don't go there, the lion's there. Don't do this, don't do that. Yeah. And they protect, and they know the lions.
You're working with people on the ground.
Yeah, so that's what I love.
So I was with your two daughters, Alex and Olivia. Your son, Philippe, the photographer.
That's true, yeah.
And we learned from the ranchers how they were working with the wolves. But what I thought was so interesting was everybody in your family works for your company.
Mm-hmm.
So this is both your children and your son.
Is
that important to you? Is that on purpose? Did you ask them to be part of the company? It started
with Olivia, and she wanted to be part to work
with
me.
She's your creative director, right?
Yeah. So she was really with me a lot. You know, she was coming back from Europe. She was modeling. She was coming back to New York, and she was hanging around with me. So she started with me. It was great. And then Alex was doing something completely different. She was doing PR. She had offered a big job for Gucci. And a friend of mine said, Alex, you can work for Gucci and have that job, or you can work for your family and be really important. And so she understood and she came to work with us.
Yeah.
And then Philippe, who's much younger than they are, he came recently and he does all the photos and the videos. And everything. And I travel with Philippe. As you say,
when my mother goes... like a model. I'm just going to say it right here.
I say, when my mother goes somewhere dangerous, I'm there. So
do you guys all travel together?
We do a lot.
I would say missions.
Yeah, we do.
Which one has been the most personal to you?
They're all personal, which is why it's so hard for me to leave them. Mm. I love the Sheldricks. I love the elephants. The elephants are the reason I fell in love with Africa. I read about Daphne Sheldrick in the National Geographic. This is a very extraordinary woman who's now 82, and she's the first woman to have been able to raise orphan elephants. She has been raising orphan elephants for 40 years. She has returned over 200 elephants into the wild to wildlife.
Yeah.
They bring back their little ones when they have a new baby and bring them to show. And it's extraordinary. And she and her daughter and now the grandboys also, everybody works into it. And it's a huge thing, the Sheldrick Trust. It's with her husband, David Sheldrick, who died really young, who had started the first big park in Kenya, in Tsavo. And she's continued this extraordinary work. So she has raised tons of orphan elephants. So
It's so funny. You come alive when you're talking about the animals as much as when you're talking about cosmetics and skincare.
Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about skincare yet.
Yeah. What obviously the cosmetics line is fueling all of this philanthropy.
Well, it's what's fantastic is that you find a way that your day job can work with your nightlife. You know, and that's my nightlife.
Right.
You know, that's all. I mean, I love the animals so much. I always adored animals. And to be able to do something that's really useful. And what you learn is when you work with people in the field, like the Lion Guardians, like the Sheldricks, is that the money you give is extraordinarily important and extraordinarily well used. It doesn't go to somebody's desk in Washington.
Mm-hmm,
it goes straight right there. Right. It buys milk for the elephant. It buys, salaries for the boys in the Maasai so that learn to become the guardians. It's amazing. It changed lives of people. And you don't need a whole lot. That's amazing.
Let's talk about Shantikai for a moment. Tell me about the products. Like, what exactly is exciting you right now? What, you know, we talked about...
Sure. I'll tell you what's exciting you right now.
Oh, okay.
The anti-pollution line that we've just come out with. For
what does
years,
that mean, anti-pollution?
Okay, I'm riddled with heavy metals. Like, not
painful.
Normal. When you do my blood test, and you should do the heavy metal test, I have so much arsenic, I have cadmium, I have stuff way above the limits. Why? I'd like to know why. So what you learn is you learn, and then I spent time in China. And when I'm in China, I realized that there's so much pollution. It's insane. You can't breathe, and the air is yellow.
Do you wear a little mask when you go?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I don't. No. But I don't. But I realize how bad it is. So I went to something for many years for anti-pollution because I think this is ridiculous. And then you learn that also all of these elements, that heavy metal or it's the pollutant, the burning. I'm very into the burning of the forest also because that's like crazy in the world.
Yeah, the carbon that's in the air.
What we create in the air is insane. I was in Borneo in the spring with Philly to see the burning of the forest for the palm oil, which is totally disgusting. It's my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And you cannot breathe. You cannot go in Jakarta. You cannot go in Kuala Lumpur.
I hope you put on some anti-pollution skincare.
So I want to create that. And there was nothing that worked that was so interesting. 5 years ago, there was no ingredient. I mean, we had two or three good stem cells that could help with the body, but really to stop this pollution to enter in the body. Because these pollutants have... grease in them. So they're dermophiliac because they're grease. They penetrate through the body. So I want to see studies of what it did. So now we have studies. We can see how it kills the mitochondria. We can see how it creates irritation.
These are the teeny, tiny little bits of particles of soot almost.
Yeah.
Whatever, 3 microns or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they're surrounded by grease.
And an antioxidant wouldn't get rid of that alone.
No.
They just stick to your face.
They go in. Forget about sticking. They go in your hand and your body. And you have big, you know, skin is your largest organ. So you're getting it in. When I see women jogging behind a bus, I want to shoot them or tell them to go. I mean,
they're doing it themselves.
Them.
It's fine.
I mean, what are you doing? Are you thinking for a minute?
That's not very French, is it? Jogging behind a bus.
No.
I don't.
Horrible.
But I mean, I see these women, you know, doing stuff like that in New York or in Chicago or anywhere, and you wonder, what are they thinking, you know?
So what's the ingredient that is sort of shielding your skin in your skincare?
Like quite a few. We started doing this anti-pollution line that we're coming out with now.
Yeah.
And it was really, we had to study a lot of different ingredients to see if they worked or not. There are two very interesting ingredients right now. I mean, there are more than two. There are about 12 that we're using. But two are totally new and different. One is a stem cell of a plant that seemed to stop from penetrating, completely stop it from penetrating. It creates a shield. And then another one that's really interesting is star anise that works on your pores and prevent it from getting in and helps clean it also so it doesn't actually go in. We have a lot of really interesting things. So we have about 12 ingredients. There's a yeast from a cactus that married with white tea. Is an incredible protector.
Yeah.
So there, you know, there are all these new ingredients that didn't exist 3 or 4 years ago that you can now honestly put in the cream and say it stops.
Was this inspired? I know you do a lot of sales in China. You just told us you were just doing a Weibo chat with your Chinese customers.
So I don't.
Is it
I
for
don't
those
sell
women
in China?
Or?
No.
You don't sell. Well, you can't. Okay, that's right.
I don't sell in China because of the animal testing.
And animal testing,
so,
which we've talked
but
about.
But our Chinese everywhere buying us.
What do you think is next for Shantikai?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
Where's that little hand that comes down from the stars and tells you the future?
Yeah.
Well, it's told me to do something. It's told me to fight for the wild horses. Because Trump wants to kill them all.
Yeah. Out west.
And it breaks my heart.
Yeah. Oh, and actually in Virginia, I think,
too. They want to kill them all. They want to go out and shoot them and kill them all. And they want to reopen the butchers. I mean, it's really monstrous.
Okay.
There's not a good news from that. Yet, you know, from any of that administration yet.
How do you keep optimistic? Sometimes I feel very
by not
depressed.
Listening too much to what the politics is going on.
You
know, there are great people in this world. They're amazing people. I know a whole bunch of fantastic
people.
You
named
people.
A few of them.
Yeah.
The people you work with, the philanthropies.
Yeah. And that makes me joyful. And that makes me happy.
Yeah.
And these people are amazing. And you can be together and really do good things. So don't bother with the rest.
So that keeps you. That keeps you optimistic. How do you stay beautiful? Let's talk products before we let you go.
You can't use every single product you've ever created. What are some of your favorites?
No, I use them all, actually.
Do you still have a little, time, do you have a, still have a little room like you did when you were younger?
At the same time, I have, I don't try everything at the same time, but I do try a lot. And I'm always working on the next one. Yeah. So I'm working on the next thing that we're launching in April, and I've been using it every night, and I love it. And
do you use anything from other brands?
No.
No. What about your hair?
Oh, yeah. Sophie. Yeah, Leonor Grell.
Oh, okay.
I'm obsessed with Leonor Grell.
That'll make the cut. So that French. Mask, that jasmine.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love Leonor Grell. Because in a way, it's a little bit like us, I think. It's a little bit
what
more old-fashioned. Well, it's a lot of flowers and products, and it's really gentle, and it's well done, and it's about quality. And the packaging is simple and straightforward. Mm-hmm. It's not chichi, but it's real.
Not chichi.
I like
chichi,
it.
It's a little chichi. That mask is like $60, I think.
I think it might be more.
I don't know. It's good stuff. And tell me, what lipstick are you wearing? That color is like probably looks good on everyone, doesn't it?
Yes, I have no idea what it is.
Oh, no. I stumped her.
What is your, for people who haven't experienced Chantecaille, what is their entry-level product? What's the product you would recommend to a Chantecaille newbie?
Harmonizing cream.
The harmonizing cream? Yeah. I thought you were going to go for like a color cosmetic.
Well, they can do that too.
But what about the harmonizing cream is so fab?
Harmonizing cream is a great cream. It's like that do everything for you cream, and it's not expensive, and it's a really good deal.
Yeah,
it's a very good cream.
And you just pulled out a lipstick. What's that?
Yes, so that's the one you want to know the name of, which of course please. I can't see in here, but I think it is Calla Lily.
Calla
Lily.
Oh yeah, a lot of things have flower names, don't they? Oh,
yeah, they all do. They all have flower names. So that's Calla Lily.
Oh, it looks so rich in the tube.
Yeah,
on your lips, it's a lovely looks very neutral. Yeah.
Okay, give us your last thing. How do we be French and fabulous? We have the French people on. Yeah. We're like, what do we need to do? What are we doing wrong? Tell us before you go.
Don't take yourself seriously.
Oh,
really? That's the French critique. That's the secret.
Don't take yourself seriously.
French, I think.
I think I've got that nailed.
No, you look very French.
Oh, dead. Mic drop. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Sylvie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. That was fun to be with you.
Keep doing all of your wonderful work.
I was with you.
Jess.
Yes.
It's time to get raw.
It's time to get raw real soon.
Raise a wand.
It's time to raise a wand.
What are you into this week?
Well, I have to say that ever since you got back from Japan and then my fiance got back from Japan, I'm all about the Japanese lifestyle.
Okay.
I'm using these, like I told you, I've been working like a dog on my apartment with the packing and the unpacking and it's nuts. At night, I put these Japanese cooling patches on my legs. They're so far.
On your legs?
On my legs, on my
feet. I thought you were about to say eyes, a leg patch.
Yeah, so Jeff brought me these for me, but like, don't worry, I'm going through the whole cache of products you got me too. I mean, between the two of you, I don't need to use any American products for the next 2 years. These patches, I'm going to show you a little picture.
Brand name?
Lion, but that's the only word written in English on the pack.
Okay.
But guys, Lion. You can buy them. I'm going to have the link. It's going to be awesome. It's about $19.
What do they do?
They're like these kind of like hydrogel patches. Just the picture like the goopy face mask, the sheet mask one, like the one that's like, ugh. You put them on your legs. I put them on the back of my thighs, the back of my calves. I even put them on the bottom of my feet, like if I'm not going to be walking around. Mm-hmm. And when I'm feeling lethargic, I feel like I have new legs. It's like putting icy hot on your legs, but in a more concentrated, less sloppy way.
How big is the patch?
I'm so glad you asked. About 2 inches by like 6 inches.
Okay. Do they care where you put them?
I'm sure you can't put them like any place where you're super sensitive. Like I wouldn't put them on my eyes or anything.
I feel like this might be nice in the middle of a flight too. Like
feeling
like just draggy.
Yeah. You know,
or if you've just lifted a bunch of boxes or a large armoire full of beauty products.
I couldn't lift that
lion, what are they called? Gel patches?
I don't know what the other words are.
All right. Well, we'll I
had to open them up to figure out
what
they were.
Our Japanese speaking listeners will have to give us a translation of what it actually is. What if we find out it's like an edible food and it's not even for your life?
It's for pets.
All right. I'm going to raise a wand to a nail polish.
Oh, wow.
As you know, Jess yells at me all the time. I have this gel habit. I can't seem to get out of it, even though they barely stay on my fingers anymore because my nails are so porous now that the gel isn't working.
Oh, that's great.
So
two
of my gel nails came off, and I happened to – Beauty Pie sent me their new nail polish, and the color matched the gel polish. So okay. I filled in the two missing nails with their regular nail polish, which is called Wonder Color Nail Polish. Girl – the regular nail polish lasted longer than the gel, which for me is like, by the way, for you, I don't know how long that will be, but the gel started peeling away like 2 days more. So I took off all the gels and I asked for one more color of this. I got the Wonder Color nail polish in Black Cherry Bomb, which is like the perfect dark plummy. It's like a vamp, but not as black.
Yeah,
just great
lovely.
For this time of year. Painted my nails up, no base, no top, even though I do make a base and a top coat. I am on day 5.
Let me see.
For me, look at that.
Nice. It's glossy too.
It's so glossy. Good brush. Didn't chip on the tips. That Marcia Kilgore, that woman knows how to make a product. Best of all, if you're part of Beauty Pie subscription, $2.37 for this nail polish.
I
swear,
money?
The fact that I'm getting excited about a nail polish should mean something to you people. Like, this is a big deal. Like, nail polish is all the same to me. This one is not. It's better. So go try it. Wonder Color, it's called.
Love that Beauty Pie. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.